Hi, everybody. Welcome to the series that's called Freed from Tithing, Free to Give. My name is Joel Brizeke. Now, this series originally started as a series of 10 blog posts on my blog. And if you want to read that, you can find it over at blog.graceroots.org. And I decided to make an audio and video version of this as well. And this will only be 4 parts. So that's what we're doing here. And there's lots of reasons why I'm doing this. Obviously, tithing is a hot topic in the church today. It's a hot button issue for people. Some people say that tithing, that is giving 10% of your income to a church, is a matter of obedience to God. And other people say there's no such thing as tithing in the life of a new covenant believer. We'll get into a lot of the scriptures that have to talk about tithing and giving, and you can make up your mind for yourself. Obviously, from the title of this, Freed from Tithing, Free to Give, I am of the mindset that tithing is not for the New Covenant believer, but I am a big believer in giving. I do believe that the new nature of the Christian is the nature of a giver. I also believe that it's not necessarily only finances that a person gives, but we can give of our time and talents, of our possessions. We can serve one another and love one another. There are all kinds of ways that we can give, and it doesn't have to be money. It can be money. Maybe you have a lot of money to give away and you freely love to give. What a wonderful thing. Maybe you don't have a lot of money to give, but yet you still do give. That's a wonderful thing as well. And maybe you have different gifts and talents that you can use to help other people in other ways. However you want to give, how wonderful that is. But I don't believe that there is a standard of 10% for giving. And again, we'll get into a lot of these scriptures that talk about tithing. Now, you say, well, Joel, Malachi 3 says, bring your tithes to the storehouse. All right, well, let's take a look at that. We'll take a look at Malachi 3 actually in part 2 here, but I do a word about that. Malachi 3 was actually a time when the prophet Malachi had come and he had found that the Jews were falling short in a lot of areas. There were tithing laws, and there were laws and ordinances for all kinds of other things as well. If you read through the entire book of Malachi, you'll see it wasn't just tithing that Malachi was addressing. And so what Malachi was doing was he was saying that there were all these other laws that had previously been given that they were not following, and so the Lord, through Malachi, was rebuking the Jews for that. And so what we need to do, instead of just looking at Malachi 3, we need to read about all those other laws, all those other tithing laws that they were forsaking, and see exactly what it was that they were missing out on, why the Lord said that they were robbing him, and so on and so forth. And I think as we read those scriptures, we'll understand that these tithing laws have nothing to do with New Covenant life. You can make up your own mind, but please stay with me as we go through the scriptures. And again, whatever you decide in your heart that you want to give, whatever you decide in your heart is the truth. You know, I'm not here to convince you of anything, but please do stick with me as we go through the scriptures. And I hope that you will be freed from tithing and free in your heart to give cheerfully, as you have decided joyfully and cheerfully in your heart to give. Let's start out with Abraham's tithe, because as I said, we'll lead up to Malachi in the next part, in part 2. But Abraham's tithe, you know, people will say Abraham was the father of our faith. And so since Abraham tithed, then we should tithe as well. Well, let's take a look at Abraham's tithe and see if you really want to base your assumptions upon that. Abraham's tithe was, well, let me say this. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And what happened was that there was a war going on. 4 kings had gone up against 5 kings in this big war. And in the process, I'm making a long story short, Abraham's nephew Lot was taken in a battle, and his family was taken and many of his possessions. We're talking a lot of possessions and a lot of people were taken. So Abraham said, all right, I'm going to get my own little army. He gathered some of his servants together who were trained for battle. They went into battle, and what that battle, it's a war, all right? And so what this battle, what happened in this battle was people died, people were killed, And also, Abraham won back Lot and his family and all of Lot's possessions. And he brought these spoils of war back with him. And on the way, he met Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is very important in this, and we'll actually get more into Melchizedek in part 3 when we talk about the New Testament mentions of tithing, because Hebrews 7 talks about this incident with Abraham and Melchizedek. But for now, sufficient to say that Abraham, that what the scripture says is that Abraham gave him a tithe of all. Now, what was it that Abraham gave Melchizedek? What was his tithe? Was it 10% of his weekly income? Did he have some cash on hand and he said, all right, I'll give you a tenth of that? Did he give him a tenth of his monthly salary? Did he get a good tax return, tax refund, and he gave a 10% of that? No, it had nothing to do with that, of course. The tithe that Abraham gave Melchizedek was a tenth of the spoils of war. Long story short, that's what happened. And so that's what Abraham's tithe was all about. So if we're going to say Abraham was the father of our faith, and so we should base our giving upon Abraham's tithe of 10%, well, then we should probably take into consideration exactly what that tithe was. Not to mention the fact that Abraham lived 125 years, and in his whole entire life, in that whole entire 125 years, we only see one instance of him, one instance of Abraham giving a tithe. Again, it was the spoils of war. It had nothing to do with finances or his income or a tax refund or anything like that. And so to base our giving of 10%, to say that there's a standard of giving of 10% because of Abraham's tithe would be very foolish. Of course, at least in my opinion. So anyway, we move on. As I said, we'll talk more about this because Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. That's why Abraham gave the tithe. And in fact, the laws of the land, some would say that this is why Abraham gave the tithe, because in the countries in that area at the time, it was the custom, and in some places it was the law, that when he brought back the spoils of war, the lesser person, the one who had won back the spoils of war, would give a tithe to a greater person. And we see that Melchizedek is known as the King of Salem. He's also known as the priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek was the greater. Abraham was the lesser. The lesser gave to the greater. And that's what this was all about. The law, or at least the custom in a lot of these lands, were that the person would bring back the spoils of war and give a tenth to the local king or the local priest, and that's what Abraham did. So, the point is, God never commanded this tithe, and as I said, it was a one-time tithe. Well, anyway, like I said, let's move on. Jacob's tithe. Jacob said to God in Genesis 28:22, of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That's a wonderful thing that that Jacob had vowed to do, at least in his own mind and in his own heart. He thought, I'll give God 10% of whatever he gives me. Now, whether he ever followed through on that or not, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But let's just say he did. Again, what a wonderful thing that Jacob decided to do. But just because Jacob did that, if indeed he really did follow through on it, does that mean that that is a standard for Christian giving? To me, I say no, of course not. You will also see that there were a lot of people in Jacob's life. He had family and friends and all kinds of people that were there. And it's not as if anyone else said, all right, Jacob said he's going to do that, so we're going to do this too. He didn't start. He wasn't giving a standard for giving. It's just what he decided that he would do. It was as simple as that. And again, we don't know if he did it or not, but I'm just assuming that he did. And even if he did, again, that doesn't mean that we should do that as well. And so anyway, this whole thing about a standard for giving. Jacob supposedly gave a tithe for the rest of his life. Whether he did or not, we don't know. But let's just say he did. Abraham gave a one-time tithe. There are also many, many, many other instances of giving in the Old Testament. A lot of them, in fact, most of them, had nothing to do with 10%. So I don't think, I think that there's an underwhelming amount of evidence in the Bible that 10% is to be some standard. But really we find people giving all kinds of things, of their possessions, of their money, of their time, in all kinds of ways, to all kinds of people, for all kinds of causes. So I don't believe that there is any one set standard for giving in the Bible, never mind in the church today. And so let's move on. Let's wrap up here, actually. We talked about Abraham's tithe. We talked about Jacob's tithe. None of these really had to do with finances. Let's make a note of that. And as we get into the tithing laws in the next section, we'll also see that none of those had to do with the giving of finances to a church, especially. But anyway, that's for part two. As we wrap up, I just want to say how important it is that we not take scriptures out of context. I believe that in order to teach tithing in the church today, by necessity, we have to take verses out of context. Well, we've talked about Abraham's tithe and Jacob's tithe already. In the next section, we'll talk about the tithing laws that were given to the Jews. And in order to apply those verses to the church, we have to stretch, we have to twist, we have to manipulate the scriptures in order to make them fit into a new covenant context. And so I don't believe that we should do that at all. And here's kind of a funny example, at least an odd example of why we should not take scriptures out of context. Leviticus 27 is the next mention of the tithe after Abraham and Jacob. This is when some of the tithing laws started to be given. Anyway, if you want to tithe, if you really want to tithe, how about following this law? No person under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Well, what's all this about being put to death and about redeeming tithes and adding one-fifth of a tithe in order to redeem it, and one-tenth of the herd of the flocks, one-tenth of the tenth being holy to the Lord, and so on and so forth? I mean, really, why what reason do we have to take a look at this and build a concept of tithing? Because if we're going to follow the tithing law here, we're going to have to follow all the other stuff too. And really, I don't think that that's the place that we want to go. So anyway, the point again being how foolish it is, in my opinion, to look at these tithing laws in the Old Testament and make a case for tithing in the church today. Well, we'll talk more about this, as I said, in part two. We're going to be talking about the actual tithing laws. There was not just one tithing law. Malachi wasn't even a tithing law. Malachi was referring back to laws that had previously been given. So we'll talk about that in part two. And in part three, we'll look at the New Testament mentions of the tithe. Jesus mentioned the tithe a couple times. Hebrews 7 talks about Abraham's tithe and how that is applied to church doctrine and, you know, at least to Christian doctrine, New Covenant doctrine. And then in the final part, part four, we'll talk about New Covenant giving, what giving really looks like in the life of a new covenant believer. So stay tuned for more as we talk about being freed from tithing and free to give.